This is KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. Rapidly advancing technologies have changed all of our lives, whether it's in what we're watching or listening to or how we pay for groceries. And governments at every level are going to have to figure out how to deal with drones, apps, and even driverless cars. A Brookings Institution report published last month called Local Government 2035, Strategic Trends and Implications of New Technologies, explores the anticipated impact on governance. So where do local governments go from here? With me to talk about that are David Swindell, director of the Center for Urban Innovation and an associate professor in the School of Public Affairs at ASU, and Kendra Smith, a postdoctoral scholar in the ASU College of Public Service and Community Solutions. Welcome to you both. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Professor Swindell, let's talk about, is government set up to be efficient and nimble in the ways that rapidly changing technology are going to require? Government is not usually known for being nimble.
No, it's not. The technologies are changing at a very rapid pace, and it's outstripping our conversations as citizens to engage in how it is that we want to deal with these new technologies as they affect millions of lives of citizens. So we are arguing that the technologies themselves are coming. The question is, how do we as citizens, how do we as local governments work with these technologies in a way that takes advantage of the good sides of them and mitigates against any downsides?
But is government always destined, I guess, to be cynical about this, to always be behind the innovation? And how can government sort of catch up or at least be closer to the curve on that?
Well, that's one of the challenges. And one of the things that we try to do at the center is to facilitate these kinds of discussions, to raise these issues and encourage local leaders to really take into account what's happening in their communities, because their citizens are already engaged in the use of a lot of these technologies. How is it that we're actually trying to foresee the impacts that they're going to have on local government in terms of like their revenues, for instance, and how do we protect our citizens against some of the abuses that some of these technologies could inadvertently lead to?
Kendra, one of the things that's been coming up a lot lately is this consumer-to-consumer, whether it's Uber or Airbnb, and there are some complications related to that. What should governments need to be looking at when it comes to that?
Well, I think government has a lot to look at. One very big thing that we've seen in this state is the use of Uber and the challenges that the state of Arizona has experienced in regulating Uber and finding really feasible and plausible ways to allow Uber to kind of flourish in our community. And one important thing is understanding the innovation and not being afraid of the innovation, and also being amenable to finding other solutions. That's one big challenge for local government, and I think that they haven't quite gotten there, but I think as new innovations such as consumer-to-consumer or peer-to-peer platforms come into the fore, they will have to.
But we're already seeing things like in San Diego, where, of course, a lot of folks from Phoenix will be going this summer. There are issues where you have these short and long-term rentals. There are concerns about how that's being done. Again, I sort of asked the same question that I asked Professor Swindell, which is, how do you expect government to be able to respond to these things when government is usually behind the curve?
Well, that is the problem. And they're finding that responding, they're always kind of the last people to know about a lot of things. And that puts them in a highly reactive certain situation, really, when they have to react to these things. And so the response and understanding what is coming up, what's new, what's innovative, will be important for a local government, because the reactive position is always the bad position to be in.
Go ahead, David, please.
One of the challenges that local governments face in this, of course, is that they're busy doing the tasks that we, the citizens, have assigned to local government. Mm-hmm. And so finding the time to think, you know, sit back and think about what are these new technologies coming down the pike, and what are the implications for local government, the way that we are pursuing it in our community, they just don't have a lot of time to do that. And so they are always, not always, but frequently in a reactive position.
Well, if you also think about the process that local government takes to develop a policy, they're busy doing other things, and then policy requires a lot of time, a lot of research. If they're doing it well, mm-hmm. It requires those things. And so if you think of any local government that is maybe short on resources, which are most,
yeah.
Okay. those things just take a backseat. And it's not until something happens. There was a story about a lawsuit that a family filed against Uber because there was an accident and a six-year-old child died. No one knows how to handle it, and we're waiting to see the outcome of the lawsuit, because in local governments are the same. They're waiting to see the outcome of the lawsuit to find what precedent will be set in these situations. And so it's just a tough environment for local government.
David Swindell, where's the chicken or the egg on this one? You mentioned perhaps there will be less revenue when it comes to these things. As Kendra mentioned, there's a push to have governments be smaller, local governments in particular, as budgets get smaller. So how are we going to decide as to what comes first, as to what gets fixed first? Is government going to be smaller because there's going to be less revenue, or is smaller government going to lead to some of these technological changes and actually being able to adjust to those technological changes more smoothly?
Well, that's the I would expect the way that it's unfolded in the past will be the map of the future. It'll just happen faster in the kind of iterative process. So, for instance, we see Airbnb, this app that you can use to rent out rooms without having to go to hotels, is a way of circumventing local hotel taxes. So local governments are going to lose out on the revenues that come from these hotel taxes because people are renting out their own rooms in their own homes to other consumers. And what do you do to get to recoup that lost revenue as a local government who's trying to pay teachers, police officers, et cetera? Well, you have two options. One, you can raise your taxes. But the thing about those hotel taxes was those were taxes raised by non-residents. People come into town, rent a hotel, they pay your taxes. That's great. But now then you're going to have to replace that tax loss on your own citizens who may not want those taxes raised, so may stop the local government from doing it. Local government can then only reduce its services. Local government could shrink. So there will be this iterative process where revenues will play a role, but also these technologies will play a role, and local governments will be trying to adapt to this ever-changing environment, but it's just happening at such rapid pace relative to years past.
Kendra, what about expanding use of drones? That's a technology people have heard about more and more. They might go out to the hardware store or something and buy their own drone. What sort of regulations are going to have to come down the pike because of that?
Well, I think a lot of local governments are waiting for the Federal Aviation Administration to come out with their regulations. They've announced that in 2015, they will release regulations on drones. And I think that local governments are waiting to see what they develop before they start to develop. I know that there has been talk about Paradise Valley and the talk about their look into drones and their possible ban on drones, and it's a challenge for them, and they're trying to be leaders in the development of the drone policy, but it's hard and it's difficult because how do you police something that is so pervasive, something that has grown in a short amount of time? You can get a drone for less than $100. You can get a drone that you can operate on your cell phone. How do you police something like that?
David Swindell, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and Steve, one of the things about these technologies is not that they're necessarily bad or going to have all these bad consequences. Mm-hmm. We want to encourage local governments to see the positives so that they can magnify the positive effects on our communities. And you can take it something like driverless cars, which can have an enormously positive impact on communities in terms of safety, in terms of lower costs, in terms of lower emissions, more efficient use of vehicles. Local governments could start thinking well outside the box about what the future of public transit is going to look like, because a local government, instead of investing heavily in a fixed rail, light rail system, could actually invest instead in a driverless car fleet that citizens could then use an app to summon a car as they need it, map a route that's going to satisfy their needs in the most time-efficient manner possible, and lower the emissions that are normally utilized. It makes cars more efficient in terms of the fact that most cars sit idle for 95% of their life. So it makes the fleet a more useful public good that citizens can utilize, and lower issues with regards to driving, for instance. These downsides of cars can be mitigated with this new technology that's emerging. And the question then is, how do local governments capitalize on the good side of these technologies?
And David and Kendra, one last thought before we end the conversation. And David, first to you, it comes to mind to me that maybe I'm being skeptical in this, but it seems that as all these developments happen, you know, we all like to be excited about new technology. It almost feels like the greater efficiency and the loss of human error, which we see in sports as we see more instant replay used and this kind of thing, changes society so rapidly that it then ends up leading to, yes, more efficiency, but maybe fewer opportunities for humans.
Yeah, that is an issue that's been debated for a good century or two.
Right.
We've faced an increasing development of new technologies over time. And that's one of the challenges. One of the things that we're trying to argue in this report is we need to take the time to have the conversations as to how it is that we're going to integrate these new technologies into our daily lives. One of the issues is that we're just so busy trying to do, what we do every day, what governments do every day, that we don't take the time to do that, which puts us in that reactive mode that we talked about earlier, as opposed to how do we utilize the role for government that we envision for our community in a way that's going to take those good elements, magnify those, and then protect us against any of those downsides that might come along with them. But you're absolutely right. It does. A lot of people have argued that these technologies make citizens nothing more than consumers. It reduces us to just these individuals who aren't engaged with our communities any longer. We're just there to consume stuff.
Almost passive observers, in a sense, Dave. Almost passive observers is almost how we look at it in the most cynical way, which I don't mean to be totally cynical. Kendra, your final thoughts on that?
Well, to echo David's sentiments, local government, this is almost a crossroads, and this is why we did the report. The report is so important because not that we're fearmongers or we want to talk about all these technologies that will change us forever, but we do want to talk about all these technologies that will change us forever and give local government, whose power and whose authority is legitimate and it's clear right now, and we know the role that local government plays for us, but as technology grows and we become more consumerized, that role will change. And so this is something that everyone needs to pay attention to.
So we'll see if local government can become more nimble. We'll see. Kendra Smith, a postdoctoral scholar in the ASU College of Public Service and Community Solutions. David Swindell, director of the Center for Urban Innovation and an associate professor in the School of Public Affairs at ASU. Thank you to you both.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.